entrepreneur looking to have your business grow with a little help from the internet, well, you've come to the right place. Welcome to Harness the Web with your host, Steve Peck.
Today with me, I'm really excited. I have Colin Stover. Colin is a professional magician and mentalist, right? You guys ever watch that TV show, The Mentalist? I want to hear more about this. Colin's in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where he's performed over the past 10 years for thousands of individuals. Some of his clients have included the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Pittsburgh Penguins, and he's performed for Fortune 500 executives. So it's pretty high-level kind of clientele there, Colin. And Colin has been featured on the cover of Pittsburgh City Paper in KDKA, the CBS news channel in Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh Magazine, and Pittsburgh Today Live, as well as numerous other publications. He has other entrepreneurial endeavors, including a video podcast titled The 20-Something Entrepreneur that teaches young entrepreneurs in their 20s how to find more success in their entrepreneurial and marketing efforts. Colin, thanks for welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm really honored that you asked me to come on for this. This is almost like some of the flagship recordings here, right?
It is. You are right up here in the single digits.
Awesome. I'm excited.
So tell me about being a mentalist.
Yeah. So mentalism, for anyone who doesn't know, is it's kind of like mind reading. It's the best way to describe it, except I don't actually read minds. I'm not a psychic. I wasn't born with any kind of abilities or anything like that. I can't tell you what Powerball numbers play. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. I would be doing that every day. And you actually hit the nail on the head with the show, The Mentalist. It's a lot like that. What I do is I use body language and psychology to figure things out about people, and a bit of deception, too. I mean, I am a magician. What I like to say is that I am dishonest, but I'm always honest about my dishonesty when it comes to my performance. So yeah, that's what mentalism is. It's a lot of mind reading stuff.
That's very cool. So I'm going to guess you're a very observant individual.
Well, my girlfriend would tell you otherwise. but yeah, in some situations, yes. I would say when I'm performing, I'm a lot more observant than I am when in just everyday life. I tend to lose things a lot. So.
Hey, you know. I guess a different TV show would be Columbo. Would be like,
yeah,
that, you know?
Yeah.
So Colin, like when you're walking down the street in Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah.
And somebody comes up to you and says, "Colin, I've seen you before. Tell me, what do you do?"
What do I do? Well, first I kind of scramble because I'm trying to go. I'm not very good with faces. I'm good at remembering names. Like if I hear somebody's name, I can tell you so much stuff about them. Because that's usually just what I'm focusing on, even in my performances. I'm focusing on people's names, and the faces kind of just go out the window. So first of all, I'm scrambling to kind of rank this person on a scale of, okay, how important is this person? Like, is this somebody I've known my entire life, or is this somebody I just met once? And I'm trying to figure out on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad is it going to be if I ask them what their name is? And usually I determine I shouldn't ask them what their name is, and I just say, oh, hey, how's it going? You know, like anyone. how's it going? You know, great to see you. And I try to, you know, finagle my way around the conversation to figure out how I know them. And then usually it just turns out they saw me somewhere at a performance and, you know, they enjoyed it. And then I don't feel as bad for not knowing their name.
Anyway, but how do you answer the what do you do question?
Oh, the what do you do question. Oh, sorry. Well, it depends totally on who is asking. So I have several businesses. I have the magic business, which is my primary business. So if somebody random just asks me, what do you do? And I have no prior information about that person. I'll tell them I'm a magician and mentalist. I perform at corporate nonprofit events in order to break the ice amongst the guests and to help ensure that the host's event is memorable and it's successful. And that included in all of my performances free reactions photography, which we could talk about that in a little bit. So that's what I would usually tell somebody if it was just a random stranger on the street. But I also do web design on the side. And then I have that video series that you were talking about. So it really depends on the audience. I mean, if I was, let's say, stuck in an elevator with somebody in the healthcare field, which is one of my primary niches for web design, you told me your son does that too, which is really funny, in the same niche as well. Luckily, he's not in Pittsburgh. I would tell them about the web design, or even if it was just an entrepreneur that I kind of felt out that they weren't going to be having any events. so the magic wouldn't be useful to them, then I'll go the web design route. Or maybe if they're just getting started, I'll go the video route and tell them I have this video series. So it really depends on who I'm talking to. But if it's just a random stranger, I tell them about the magic.
And of those three things, I'm going to go, let's jump 5 years into the future.
Yeah.
Which of those three things do you want to be predominant in 5 years?
Oh, that is so hard to tell. You know, I mean, if you looked at me 5 years ago, you wouldn't recognize me. I mean, I would say out of those three, the video series, I love helping people. I love teaching. And one of my goals is to stop trading hours for dollars. And one of my goals is also to be able to travel. And that video series, because it is solely an online business, whereas the other ones have ties to offline, it gives me a lot more freedom to go where I want and do what I want. So I would say that, yeah, that would be the one that if I could choose one to take off, that would be it. But I also know that I'm not sure I could focus on anything for 5 years. I'm an entrepreneur, you know, so I'm constantly thinking of new things, and that's both a blessing and a curse. So it may be that none of those three things are what I'm doing in 5 years, or it could be that one really takes off and that's what I end up doing.
Okay, cool. Well, that's very cool. Like, tell me an example of like how somebody used you, the non-mentalist. No, let's even use the magician mentalist too. Like, so how does somebody take advantage of your services?
Yeah. So, people usually they're having an event, and it's usually, like I said, I do any event where the primary audience is adults, so I can do weddings and things like that, and I have done them, and I'm happy to continue doing them. They're really fun. But mostly it's a corporate or nonprofit event, and more often than not, it is either a customer appreciation event or an employee appreciation event. Now, I usually approach those two different events quite differently, but it gets down to they want me to come in to break the ice. That's actually what I call my services. It's icebreaker magic and mentalism. So what I do is I am actually walking around. Usually I have a stage show, but primarily I'm walking around from table to table, performing miracles for these people right under their eyes. I'm doing like a short 5 to 10 minute custom show for each of the guests. And what it does is it brings those people together. You'd be amazed. I go up to a table of people who aren't talking, and they're all just sitting there on their phones, which is the last thing you want people to do at your event, especially if you want it to be memorable. You don't want them to mentally check out that way. So I get them off their phones. I entertain them, and you'd be amazed. These people weren't talking before, but I'll check on them later on, and they're carrying on like they're best friends because they had that shared experience. And another thing I do is I have what's called a reactions photographer, and basically I developed a special relationship with a photographer who I'm able to offer to my clients completely free. So what she does, she follows me around during the event. She takes photos of the event. She knows exactly when to snap those shots because she's seen it so many times to get those amazing reaction shots. I'd be happy to share a couple of those shots with your listeners if you want me to.
Sure.
Yeah, but so she takes those photos, and then we give each of the guests a download card so they can get those photos, and we give them to the event organizers as well for free. There's no strings attached to those photos. And basically what they can then do is share those with everyone at the event, and the people who downloaded them using the download card, I make it super easy for them to share the page where they downloaded them from. So they're sharing them on Facebook, so they get those additional marketing benefits as well from that.
Well, that's interesting, because that leads me to my next question really for you is, how do you in that business, which is certainly, you know, a hands-on, I'm going to say being a magician, this will sound really funny, I think, it's really kind of a traditional business, mm-hmm. right? It's a face-to-face kind of business.
Yeah.
How do you harness the internet to help you grow that and to work that business?
Yeah, so the two best ways that I found the internet has really helped me in the magic business is in positioning and follow-up. Those are really the two categories that I focus the most on and that have helped me the most. So as far as positioning goes, I position my website and have designed it in a way so that if my prospects see my site, they are going to hire me. If they compare my site to the rest, to the other magicians in Pittsburgh, they're going to choose me, unless they think that I'm too expensive and they're price shopping. because it comes off as the most professional. And I'm saying this objectively. I mean, I know I would obviously want to say that about my own site, but I mean, these magicians have some pretty cheesy looking websites. So it makes it easy for me in that regard. So I have it positioned in a way where I'm the obvious choice. I have all of my media that I've been featured in, and I give very clear steps about how I work best and how what they should expect. I have a guarantee. I have all of these great things that not everyone in my industry has. And I don't say this to brag. It's just what I've built up. And actually, to tell you a quick story about the positioning, I had somebody contact me recently about doing a college fair. So they wanted me to come out, and they were doing a college fair, and they want me to come out and perform for these students as they walked around shopping for colleges, basically. And there was a person who contacted me, but they were leaving the organization. They were just finishing up some last things, but they contacted me, and then they passed me along to somebody else. So I meet with the person who replaced them, and I just asked out of curiosity during our meeting, you know, have you contacted anyone else? Are you still kind of shopping around? And they said, oh, no, she chose you. You're the person we're going with. And so I thought to myself, I was like, well, I never even really talked to the other person. I mean, I sent like 2 emails to them, but that was it. And it was just that my site was positioned so well that she looked at all these other sites and said, you know what, this is our guy. I don't care what he charges. Now, it ended up actually not working out because it was just wasn't right for the format that they were going for. But as far as the positioning goes, I was their guy, and I hadn't even met with or talked to them yet. So that's really, I think, the most powerful thing I've gotten out of the internet, is that as a positioning tool.
That's pretty incredible that you're able to do that. And how do you use it to follow up? You talked about the pictures, mm-hmm. and like that. What else do you do?
Yeah, so as far as follow-up goes, I'm a huge believer in systematizing everything, and I use a marketing automation program called ActiveCampaign, and we can talk about that a little later. But I don't have to do any work anymore to follow up with people. They fill out the booking form, they automatically get an email, and then all I have to do is tag them either I have the date available or I don't have the date available. And they automatically get an email trying to book a meeting. If they don't respond to that email, it sends follow-up emails for me, so I don't have to think about any of that stuff. But because it's all automated, my follow-up is so consistent, so on point and on time, that I'm responding before any of the other magicians would have a chance to respond, because they just have a contact form and they do not have any kind of marketing automation behind it. They don't even have an autoresponder that goes off after you submit that contact form. So if they go on to, let's say, 5 of my competitors' site plus mine, and they fill out all of our forms, I'm going to be the first person to email them back, because it happens automatically. And so I book that meeting, and that's when they fall in love with me in that meeting. So the other guys don't have a chance.
Makes sense. I mean, when you're saying, I'm thinking like, oh, the other guy hasn't made it home yet to check his answering machine.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it is. You know, they don't check their email. And a lot of people, they pride themselves on answering emails very quickly, and so they're on their email all day. Personally, I hate email. I hate checking it. I set a very specific time once a day that I check my email, and I don't check it for the rest of the day, because it's a time suck. But I still respond so quickly to people because I'm not the one doing the responding. I write the emails, and then it automatically happens for me. I don't even have to think about it.
Now, is ActiveCampaign the tool you use to do all that?
Correct.
And tell us a little bit about what that is.
Yeah, so ActiveCampaign is marketing automation software. Kind of like if your listeners are familiar with Infusionsoft or HubSpot or any of those, it's kind of like that. And the reason I love it so much, and the reason it's the tool that I always recommend people use, is because it's what I've been looking for the past 3 years. Because I've been using Infusionsoft through another company that I work with but don't own. I've been using their Infusionsoft, and Infusionsoft is very confusing. And I have nothing against Infusionsoft. It's a great program, but people call it Confusionsoft for a reason, because it's confusing. There's a big learning curve.
Right.
That, and it's very, very, very expensive. And it's one of the cheaper options as far as marketing automation goes, which is the scary part. So I've been looking for something that's Infusionsoft level, but in the price range closer to like MailChimp and AWeber. But MailChimp and AWeber, they don't truly have marketing automation. They say they have marketing automation. They're autoresponders. They're not really marketing automation.
Yeah. I refer to those because people ask me that all the time about like a MailChimp or an AWeber. And I kind of tell them that the way I think about it is they are like a linear email system.
Yes.
Versus one that's one that's kind of in 3D or multidimensional.
Yeah, exactly. And I have nothing against MailChimp. I used MailChimp for several years and loved it. My only problem was I needed more automation tools and I couldn't find them. So I was searching and I tried so many. I can't even tell you how many I tried. I tried so many and I actually gave up for a whole year. And then I came back to search and there was a new tool. There were several new tools that I tried out. And ActiveCampaign was one of them. And it was only $50 a month. And you get basically all of the functionality that Infusionsoft has. I mean, there's some that's missing, but as far as marketing automation goes and being able to set up all of those campaigns to send out, it has all the functionality of Infusionsoft, and it is like 10% of the price at least.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah, so I love it.
Yeah, sweet. And I agree with you that you can spend a lot of money to get some things that are kind of hard to use.
Yes.
And that there are counterparts to them that are way more affordable.
Mm-hmm. And then you have to spend more money on those ones to learn how to use them.
We could talk a whole show just about that.
Oh, I know.
So when did you first realize that you could incorporate the internet to help you build your business?
I remember the day, actually. So I was watching The Social Network, the movie, The Social Network. It's about
how Facebook
got started, right? It's a great movie. I love it. Actually, I haven't seen it in a while, so I should probably do that because it really is a great movie, albeit not exactly 100% factual. However, I was watching this movie, and I thought it was so cool. The whole movie, I was thinking, wow, so anyone could just build a website. Like in a college dorm room, build a website and all of these people are going to flock to you with money in hand and you're going to become a billionaire like overnight. And I thought that was so cool.
It is cool.
Yeah, it is. It's really cool. So at the time I was just kind of getting, I mean, I was already been doing magic for quite a while, but I was just getting started and thinking, okay, maybe I could start doing some actual events. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to buy a domain name. I'm going to build a website and it's going to be really easy. And I'll be able to have a website where I'll have videos of me performing and all these people are going to come to the site and they're going to book me and I'm going to be famous. And it's going to be amazing. So I bought a domain name. I think back then it was colinstovermagic.com. I actually think my name was already taken, which was kind of odd. Obviously it got released eventually because I have it now. But I bought the domain name and I waited for it to be editable, which as you know takes like 6 to 48 hours, and I when I finally went into edit it, I expected to see something like MySpace. Now this kind of this dates me in my 20s. MySpace, in case nobody remembers, it's what happened before Facebook. It was the social network. But the cool thing about MySpace was you could actually put HTML and CSS code into your MySpace page, so it would actually look like a little mini website. And some were very fantastic and beautiful, and others were awful and had all kinds of auto-playing music and all this crap that really was just awful. But I expected when I bought this website to go in and for it to be like MySpace, and I could just copy an HTML and CSS code from somewhere else and paste it in, and I would have this beautiful website. And I was very disappointed to find that, no, that wasn't the case. So I found a drag and drop editor that my host gave me, you know, when I signed up for the website, and it sucked. I mean, I couldn't get it to look anything like how I wanted to. It just wasn't flexible at all, and I had no idea what I was doing. So that's when I started to really focus on how to figured out for myself, because I was only like 15 at the time. So I didn't have money to pay a web designer to do this for me. And I'm kind of glad that I didn't, because I spent, you know, the next couple of years figuring out how to do all this website stuff. And luckily I'm a pretty quick learner. And that's actually started a second business for me, which is web design. And I've designed, you know, dozens of websites since, and a lot of them have been my own, which kind of puts me in a unique position of a lot of web designers go to school for web design, never had a business before, so they've never been responsible for their website's performance per se. Whereas what I bring to the table to my web design clients is that I have actually designed websites for myself. So I've been responsible for actually having to bring traffic to my site and actually having websites that work and convert people and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of what I bring to the table in that business. So that's how I got started. And I've, like I said, I've built tons of websites since. I mean, the first thing when I think of with a new business is build the website, but I also enjoy it. So it's probably more of an excuse to play around with building a website than it is, I'm thinking, like it's a necessity.
Yeah. Hey, Colin, other than that first website you did, what's a time when this technology hasn't worked for you?
A time when this technology hasn't worked for me? Well, I think the just pieces that I struggle with. I'm great on the positioning end of things. Like I said, if I can get somebody to come to my site, then they're going to book me because the positioning is so great that unless they're price shopping and they think that I'm too expensive based on what they're reading and all of the fantastic stuff they're seeing, they're going to at least book a meeting with me to meet me and hear what I have to say. So the thing that I struggle with and I'm still working on, and you know, I find some success in some parts and then sometimes I fail miserably, is just lead generation. It's just getting people to actually come to the website. So I have different strategies for that I try out, and some work better than others, but I would say that's definitely the biggest problem that I have when it comes to my website, is just that lead generation, getting people to actually visit my site, because I know that when they do visit my site, they book.
It's interesting. That's interesting. So, because there's lots of people who have the problem that you have, you know, of getting that first thing. It's cool. That's cool. We can talk more about that later.
Yeah.
So what's the best advice you've ever gotten?
Best advice, systematize. Now this is, are we talking about online advice or offline advice?
I guess either one.
Okay. Well, I have two different ones. For online, I would say systematize. So figuring out exactly what you want your customer's experience to look like, and then putting it in a step-by-step process that is written out and you can follow through on it. So whether you're following through with it through marketing automation like I am now, or you're doing it how I used to do it, which was I had a Trello account, which is a task management software tool, right? I'm sure you've used it or at least heard of it. That's what I was using to follow up with people, and it just became too much. So I was using, I started using marketing automation and ActiveCampaign. So that's the best advice for online, because suddenly you'll start getting tons and tons of leads and you might get overwhelmed, and then you're not going to follow through with how you normally treat people. So if it's everything is systemized and step by step and you know where people are in your processes, it just becomes so much easier. And that's one of the things that people look for when they're going to purchase a company. They're purchasing the systems. So if you have those systems in place already, you're that much closer to selling your company, which I believe for an entrepreneur should be the ultimate goal for a company, for it to be able to live on without you actively running it, because that's when you get into the passive kind of stuff. So that's for online. Did that all make sense?
Yeah.
Should I?
Yeah, no, it makes perfect. No, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, that's good.
So for offline, the best advice I've ever received is to time block. It has made such a difference. And basically what I mean by time blocking is I have a ritual that every night, right before I go to sleep, I write out my next day. So I write exactly when I'm going to wake up, and then I block out. I know what I'm going to be doing every minute of the next day based on what I wrote on my whiteboard, or if I'm traveling, what I write in my journal. So I save so much time that way, because I'm not just bouncing around from thing to thing aimlessly and putting out fires. I have a purpose, and I rarely deviate from that purpose, only if there's really something pressing that I need to take care of, or if I get too stressed out and I need to like de-stress, go for a run or play the drums or something like that, then I'll do that and take a break. But really, I mean, time blocking has been so beneficial for me.
So you're a musician too.
Yes, musician and magician. Actually, sometimes people get them confused. Sometimes I tell people what I do, and they ask me, what instrument do you play? And I say, well, I play the drums, but that's not what I'm talking about.
I don't know. I just had this weird thought you could be the drum-playing magician, but I don't know how you would do that.
Yeah, I don't know either. If you can figure that one out, then we might have to go into business together.
That's cool. So that's awesome anyways. So, and like getting all of this going, what's like been your biggest challenge?
I'm still going to have to go back to the lead generation. That's definitely my biggest challenge. I mean, I do some pay-per-click and I do a lot of testing. So I do see improving results and I have been getting more leads. So what I've been doing must be working, but it's one of those things, you know, I'm an impatient person. So I want everything to change overnight.
Yeah.
Obviously that's not happening. So I would say that, yeah, lead generation is definitely my biggest problem, because my close rates are through the roof. So I know if I can get people just in my funnel, then it would be all good.
Yeah, that's cool. So you just need more people in the funnel.
Yeah, someone sell me a product right now.
Cool. I'll sell you one afterward. So like, you've used a lot of things, a lot of tools. You mentioned a lot of tools. Do you have a favorite one that you, other than ActiveCampaign?
Other than ActiveCampaign. I was going to say, because ActiveCampaign is my favorite. Other tools that are my favorite. I do love Trello. Now, Trello's changed a lot for me. What I use it for now is just kind of a day-to-day to-do list that doesn't fit in with my systems. So if I have something that I want to do next week or remember to do next month or something like that, I put it into Trello and set the due date. And then every day, whenever I'm writing down my time blocking, I go into Trello and I see what I have on my list for tomorrow so I can add those into my time blocks. So Trello is really amazing. And it's so versatile. It really can work however you want it to work, which is what I really love about it.
Now, Trello is the product, if I remember right, that's really based on like a card analogy, like a flip card analogy, right?
Yeah. So kind of what I liken it to, because this is the way some people actually used to do their follow-up. So they would get 12 boxes, one for every month of the year, and then they would get folders for each of those, for each day in those months. And then each prospect would represent a piece. They would have each prospect would be on an index card.
Yep.
And so then they would put a post-it note on what they needed to do for that prospect. And then they would put them into that date wherever it needed to be. So if they needed to do something, let's say follow up with Joe Schmo on December 12th, they would write a card that said Joe Schmo and they would say follow up on a little post-it note. And they would put that in the December box in the 12th folder, which sounds like a pain. Then they would
That's exactly how it was done, you know?
Yeah. And then they would go
Have one of those.
Well, yeah, and I've never experienced this because I've grown up in the digital age, you know? So, but this is what somebody told me because I was having trouble with follow-up it and figuring out, like, how I'm going to – because I had a system in place, but I didn't know how to enforce it. And somebody told me that first, and I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm just going to shoot myself. Like, I don't want to do that. That sounds awful. And then they told me, or you could use Trello and do the same thing digitally. And I was like, why didn't you lead with that?
Yeah.
So yes, Trello, they use the card analogy. It's split up into boards, which is kind of the top hierarchy. Then lists, which are, like, if you can imagine, columns. And then cards, which are the things that go into those columns.
That's cool. That's cool. I've used it. It's a cool tool.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Yeah. And I know you like to work with young people, young entrepreneurs. So if you're working with somebody new today and they just needed to get, like, what would you tell them to do first?
Give me $20,000 and I would give you a business. No, I'm just kidding. no, I would tell them to just go for it. I think people get so hung up on waiting for the right time. This is for anything in life, not even here I am giving like life advice and I'm, you know, in my 20s. But this is what I've found in my relatively short experience on this earth is that people wait for the perfect time to do things, and they wait until things are in the exact right conditions. And you know what? It's never going to be the right conditions. I mean, people are waiting. Oh, you know what? once I make this certain amount of money, then I can start a business because I would have some runway. Or, you know, I can't start a business if I have this job. I need to get a different job to support me while I try to run this business. Or, you know, I just got married, so I can't start a business. I gotta focus on my relationship. If you want to start a business, start a business. Figure out, all you need to do is figure out who you want to work with, and then what problems those people have and how you can offer a solution. People focus way too much on trying to develop the perfect product. And I'm guilty of this too. I think we all are. But people focus too much on products and less on problems. And I think that runs into people stalling and waiting, and then they've already missed the boat. I think it's a lot more worth it to just get something out there. Because I think a lot of people also, they spend, you know, months or years developing this perfect product, and then they put it out in the market and nobody wants it. And now they just wasted all this time. And then they're so discouraged. Then the worst thing happens, they just quit business and forget about it and get a regular job. And I think that's sad. I think everyone should be an entrepreneur. I think the world would be a better place if everyone was accountable for their own success. But that's not to say there's anything wrong with not being an entrepreneur. Yeah. But I think people just wait too long.
Yeah, that's one of the things you were mentioning is actually advice I got from a coach I had one time, which was, hey, do this, sell it, and then build it after somebody buys it.
Yeah. Well, I was listening to a podcast the other day, and the guy on there said something that I loved. He said, before you even develop your product, get 5 definite yeses. And what he means by that are people who are – you tell them about this idea and they say, where can I buy this? Or they hand you like $50 right then and there and say, okay, I'm pre-ordering it. I want it as soon as it comes out. And like, these have to be real yeses. They can't be like they say something like, oh yeah, let me know when that comes up. That's a no, that's not a yes. Or those kinds of things, those aren't real yeses. But if you get 5 real yeses, it's not going to happen immediately. So what you do is you ask questions and you figure out, how do I need to tweak this to get those 5 yeses? And then by the time you get 5 yeses, which is a lot harder than it sounds, your product's going to have so much planning done already for exactly what people want. And you're not going to have to test quite as much. And you're not going to release the product nobody's going to want it. If you can get 5 people to say absolutely yes before it comes out, then you can get hundreds of people to say yes after it comes out. Right. So that was the advice.
It's very cool. Yeah, that's great. So, what's something that you today that you could give the people anyone who's listening to this, that you could give them a tip, a success tip that they could implement today? You know, with no, you know, we talked about just doing it, you know, no excuses, no anything else. Hey, here's something you can do today, and it's not, you know, you're going to be able to do it in 30 minutes or an hour, but before you go to bed today, this is something you could do. What would something like that be?
To write down 10 ideas. So this is a concept that comes from a guy named James Altucher. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but he wrote a book called The Choose Yourself Guide to Wealth, which is a great book. I recommend it. You can get it on Kindle Unlimited, or you can get it on his website. And I did
what's his name again?
It's
the name of the book again?
The Choose Yourself Guide to Wealth.
Choose Yourself Guide to Wealth?
Yep, and it's by James Altucher.
Cool.
And but what he talks about is primarily a big part of this book is becoming what he calls an idea machine. And this is somebody who can come up with an idea for any kind of problem at any time. And the way he says you become this is you write down 10 ideas every single day. And you don't have to be good ideas, and they don't have to be business ideas. So one day it might be business. One day I might write 10 ideas for how I could generate more leads. The next day I might write 10 ideas about how I could better use my reactions photography. And then the next day might be not business related. Maybe it's 10 ways I could bring more romance into my relationship. Or I did this one recently, 10 punny hamburger names that I could make a hamburger and have a funny name for them that tied into the ingredients. The idea isn't to use these ideas. The idea is that he believes if you do this for 6 months, you become what he calls an idea machine. And because you're constantly coming up with 10 ideas, 10 ideas, 10 ideas every single day, no matter what they are, whenever you actually run into a real problem that you need to solve, you're going to be able to come up with 10 ideas right off the bat. Now, I had somebody, I was telling somebody about this idea, and they said, okay, well, I'm not sure I want to do 10 ideas. I'm going to do 5. I don't recommend that. The reason I don't recommend that is because what I've noticed is getting to idea maybe 7, maybe 8, usually around 7 is really easy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's so easy to get those ideas out, right? They just come to you. Once you start to get to 8, 9, 10, that's when it becomes hard. That's when you're sitting there and you're looking at this paper and you're looking at your other ideas and you're thinking, I have some great ideas here. I don't know if I can write anything else. Like, these are great ideas. You start to become really focused on the ideas you already came up with. But then if you stick through it, you might sit at idea number 8 for 5 minutes and you're staring there. But once you figure out what that 8 is and you can get 8, 9, and 10, I found that maybe 75% of the time, those are actually the best ideas that I've come up with. After I already got those first ideas, which I actually thought were good, down, 8, 9, and 10 blow those ideas out of the water, because I'm getting through that mental block that can come over you whenever you're in a situation where there's actually real pressure. So it's great practice for coming up with ideas anytime.
And have you been doing this for a while now?
I've been doing it for about a month, and I've been trying to be consistent. There are some days that I miss it. I do admit that I miss it a lot more on weekends than I do on weekdays, and that's completely my fault. But as far as when I do it, I do feel more mentally alert, and I feel good for doing it. And I have noticed that I've been more creative and I can come up with ideas and solutions to problems a lot quicker now than even when I started. But like he said, it takes 6 months, according to him, before you really start to see amazing results. And just think about it. After a year, you're going to have 3,650 ideas in your journal. That is amazing. There's no way that at least one of those ideas does not make you tons of money.
and is it do you do like a problem a day, or do y'all have to be around the same problem?
No, not around the same problem. You don't want to do that. You'll get burnt out way too easily.
Like in one day, like, so like today you would pick one problem today. Oh. whatever you would define the problem.
Correct. Yeah, so you would do one problem per day. So like, for example, 2 days ago, my idea was 10 ideas to get more leads from the Franklin Inn. And that's a restaurant that I perform magic in. And the whole purpose is for me to generate leads, because it's not like the restaurant doesn't pay me my normal fee. I just go there to get leads. But they have been slower than I've wanted them to be. So I wrote down 10 ideas for how I could generate more leads. But then like on August 23rd, I wrote down 10 types of customers. In my experience, 10 different types of customers. The day before, I wrote down 10 video ideas for my video series. So those were actually all business examples. But like I said, I've done everything from like hamburgers I could make. I've done cereals that for some reason it revolves around food a lot. I must be hungry when I write these. I've done cereals. That was actually the first one I did. Cereals that I could invent that would be unique and interesting that I think people might buy.
That's cool. That is very cool. That's a great tip. So I think that's something that anybody can do. And you're right. They can do it today. They can get started today, come up with 10 ideas around a problem, and pick a different thing tomorrow and train themselves to generate ideas better. That's awesome. Colin, it's been awesome talking with you today.
Yeah,
I really appreciate
you as well.
It. How, if someone's interested in reaching out to you, taking advantage of any of your services, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Yeah, so you can reach me at colinstover.com. That's the magic site. But I think something that would be more useful to your readers would be to go to 20somethingentrepreneur.com. That's 20, like the number 20, and then spelled out something entrepreneur, all one word, .com. Because I upload videos twice a week. I think they would complement nicely with what you do, and they're free to watch. So I think if they're interested in business and marketing advice, A, they should talk to you, but B, definitely, you know, check out those videos and just see if they mesh with your philosophy and if you find them interesting.
That's very cool. So it was colinstover.com,
mm-hmm,
and 20somethingentrepreneur.com.
Right. And I'm kind of, you know, for a web designer, you would think I would be smart enough to not put the word entrepreneur in my domain name because it's so difficult to spell. But you can Google it too, and it should show up in the Google results.
That's right. That's good. That's a good point.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you probably should learn how to spell it.
That's true.
You know, in
there's
any
some
case.
Bad spellers out there. I got to tell you.
Yeah, it's tough. It is one of those tough words.
Yeah.
In any case, hey. Anyways, it's been so great talking with you today, and thanks again for being with us.
Thanks so much for listening to Harness the Web with your host, Steve Peck. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit harnesstheweb.net. We'll see you next time.